We're going to take a look now at the financial markets. The third quarter has come to an end, and many investors are wishing it good riddance. The Dow Jones Industrial Average saw its worst September since 2002 and its worst monthly drop since March 2020. And the S&P 500 and NASDAQ are on track to experience their first three-quarter losing streaks since 2009. Here to help us make sense of the markets is Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure podcast. Robin, it's great to have you with us. And look, around the world, you've got markets reeling. The values of currencies are plunging. Oil and other commodities are getting hammered. What is happening?
Everything, Jeff, is ultimately hardwired to the United States' main interest rate with the Federal Reserve controls. And we've gotten used over decades to just really low interest rate policy. In times of crisis, indeed, we take interest rates to zero. And it's a free-for-all for real estate and risk asset holders and stocks and NFTs and crypto. The problem this time is there's this broadening idea that the Fed doesn't have a handle on inflation. And it could be so out of its control that it has to keep hiking rates. And so no one knows. They're kind of selling first and asking questions later, whether you talk about the Brits, asset markets across the world, emerging markets, corporate debt, junk bonds in the United States. It's really such an overdue reckoning. And people for years have been saying, the 40-year bull market in bonds is over, the 30-year bull market in bonds is over, and there's this idea right now that it's finally caught up to us.
And there have been few places for investors to hide because, as you mentioned, there's so much volatility in the bond market. I mean, what are some of the best practices? What are people supposed to do?
That's the consternation in this. We called my episode this week Bondsternation because typically bonds provide ballast in a portfolio. If you see in 2008 or 2011 at other times when people are selling, they pour into the readout of safety that is the U.S. Treasury market. What's unusual this time is the diversified portfolio is getting hit, kind of equal opportunity victims this year, bonds and stocks, because of inflation. And inflation is such a wily foe. It's one that we really haven't had to deal with in robust terms since the early 80s. So whether you talk about gold, oil, they're open to the vicissitudes of so many other things that there isn't a place to kind of hide out. I ask people, like, is it Haas avocados, Peruvian alpacas? Like, what is going to hold its value? And that's the question, the multi-trillion dollar question right now.
Well, look, Robin, you spoke to this. I mean, there seems to be global agreement about who is causing all of this volatility. The central banks, with the Federal Reserve in the lead. I was going to ask you if this is all part of the Fed's plan, but based on what you said earlier, it seems like it's not.
Here's one of the things that the Fed can't come out and say. Jerome Powell, the Fed chair, cannot jawbone housing prices and tell you people, you guys, you're ridiculous. 25% in 2 years, get out of here. He can't jawbone NFTs and other things. He has a blunt instrument of hiking rates by chunky terms. Three quarters of a point, three quarters of a point, three quarters of a point. When does that end? What that does is I think the ulterior motive, and actually one of the main motives is to soften the labor market. He actually does want higher unemployment for more slack for wages to come down. He wants to see asset prices get a haircut. He wants to see real estate take a haircut. And indeed, we saw mortgage rates this year touch a 15-year high. They're near 7%. You can buy a lot more house with a 3% mortgage than you can a 7% mortgage.
Are there any winners in this brutal bear market?
Gosh, what is defensive out there? The time was you could go and look at Campbell's Soup or a pickle company or something that was stayed, but I've looked all across. I mean, grocery companies are getting hit because, again, we don't have an institutional memory of pernicious, persistent inflation. It's something that I often say my dad talks to me about when I was a little kid, and he'd show me the passbook savings accounts, and he'd tell me about the price of milk. But in our adulthood, Jeff, you know, in my investing lifetime, we really haven't had to deal with inflation.
Robin, for people who don't study the markets as closely as you do, but who really only see their retirement accounts plummeting, is a bear market the same as being on the precipice of a recession, or are those two sort of different things?
They don't necessarily go into lockstep. We've had so many bear markets, just even since the crash of 87 or the early 80s, as a part of a broader kind of broad increase in the S&P 500 and the Dow. But bear markets hurt. You don't want to log into the 401k or the Roth IRA and see that it's taken a 25% haircut. But to answer another question, Jeff, there is a silver lining. You could finally get yield. You know, let's not underestimate this. With inflation up there, it's keeping the fixed income markets and the dividend markets a little more honest. You could get something like a 3.5% a yield on a shorter term treasury or a 10-year treasury. Certificates of deposits, the banks finally have to pay up after a long period of not giving you anything. So there is real yield out there, but it's coldly comforting at a time when We don't know if the Fed's going to have to stop at 5%, at 6%, at 7%. What is the cry uncle point? And so again, everyone is selling first and asking questions later.
Robin Farzad, host of the Full Disclosure podcast. Thanks as always for your insights, friend.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jeff.